Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio for this Friday, August 28th, 2020. A sad day in Tucson. We lost, really, a legend. There's no doubt about it. Our condolences to the family of Lute Olson, the legendary coach, passing away yesterday at the age of 85. In my 32 years in town, first with TV and now radio, had the pleasure of interviewing Lute on a couple of occasions, and all I can say, really put it in two words, pure class. So Lute's one of these people that will always be remembered here in Tucson, Arizona. We have our worldwide live listening podcast of my show at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, thanks to Dylan Smith and TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks to Dan Shear, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Thanks to Jim Ninsel and the Tucson Local Media Group and their publications, Tucson Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview today is with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, and joining us also today on the live line is Sarah Garrett Gasson, opinion page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, Mr. Huckleberry, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Bill.
How well did you know Lute?
I met him several times, and I think you aptly described him. He was purely a class act and always was.
Chuck, let's talk about the latest numbers from the Arizona Department of Health, their dashboard showing the lowest number of COVID-19 patients in ICU beds since April. There's very low inpatient numbers. The case numbers have been going down. Mr. Huckleberry, a lot of people think this is over.
Not quite, Bill, not even close. And I think that's what everybody needs to understand, that just because there's a decrease in the infection rate and a decrease in hospitalizations and ICUs as well as emergency department, that decrease is not substantial, and that our physicians, our public health physicians, look to have a 15% capacity in those areas, and we're not quite there yet, even though we're low. And I think what everyone forgets is that in the early months of this pandemic, we had very few infections in March, April,
How
and
few
May.
Were there initially?
Well, if you look at the actual monthly statistics, because that's what we like to look at a longer term, is in March, there was 153 infections compared to April, of 1,024, and then finally in May, 1,101, and then it began to accelerate rapidly. In June, there was 5,622 cases, and the record month we had was basically July, which is 7,780.
It exploded.
It did, and we're on pace right now with just about 2 to 3 days left in the month to hit about 5,000 cases in August. So when you think about that, yes, 5,000 cases is better than 7,800, but it's much worse than, say, May, when we only had 1,100 cases. And so when you compare it over the long term, and I think that's why I said we're better off than we were in July, but we're not nearly as good as we were in the early months of this pandemic.
Sarah, let's bring you into the conversation early. Go ahead.
Thank you. Chuck, you put out a memo about COVID confusion and mixed messages. Could you talk a bit about what you're hearing from the White House in terms of their evaluation of how the county is doing and what we're seeing on the ground?
Yes, happy to do so, because I think that caused more confusion, simply because Dr. Bix was in a conversation with the mayor of Tucson, our supervisor, Betty Villegas, as well as Dr. Terry Cullen. And Francisco Garcia, our chief medical officer, was also on that call. And Dr. Bick said, well, the state is doing fine, but Pima County isn't, and you've had a spike, and, you know, what are you doing about that? And I think we looked at the data, and I think our physicians said, what data are you looking at? Because the data that we're looking at says that we're better off than we were. We're not great, but we're better off, and we'd have no spike. Well, when you go back and look at the data, there's one day where there's 653 infections.
And that was just the other day, I think. And we had like the next day
almost none.
Under 100.
Yeah. And so what happened is we said, well, we know what that spike is. And that spike is there were over 500 infections reported at the state prison on Wilmot. So they're all reported on that day by their vendor. And so if you take away those 500, you're right back into what we would normally see as a decreasing daily infection rate of about 150. So
that was coming from the prison.
So that was coming from the prison. Had absolutely nothing to do with the community. And so that's why we said mixed messages. At the same time, if you looked at the front cover of this weekly report put out by the White House, it said that, you know, you could open up, I think it was gyms, and then it said, except in Pima County. So we were trying to figure out, well, why except in Pima County, except for this unusual spike that occurred because of the prison. And then the mixed message part comes from just what we've gotten from the state yesterday, is it's okay to open gyms, I guess, even in Pima County. And so there's the difficulty we've had. I think the important point is that we're better than we were in July, but we're still worse off than we were in March, April, and May. So we need to continue to be very vigilant about what we're doing and to take all the precautions necessary and continue those same activities that we've done in the early months of the pandemic that had it pretty much, we won't say under control, but not as out of control as it was in July of this year.
Sarah, did you have a follow-up?
What are your thoughts about the U of A opening campus? Classes started on Monday. Students I've talked to say that, you know, sometimes they feel safe, sometimes it's people aren't wearing masks. What are your expectations for how this is going to go?
Well, I think we're all kind of holding our breath and hoping that it goes well. I think the issue is, again, whether or not those students will practice those, we'll say, prevention measures, such as physical distancing, washing their hands, wearing masks. And if they do a lot of that, hopefully we won't have the outbreaks that we've seen in other colleges throughout the country.
Where they've had to shut down, it's almost like every day you're hearing of a major university saying, we can't do this, we're going online.
And I think we're closely monitoring what's going on. Our concern is not necessarily with the on-campus students, because I think the university did test all of those on-campus students.
What about the off-campus?
The problem is the off-campus, we'll say high-rises that had just been built in the last few days that are off-campus, but they're immediately adjacent to campus. Testing there has not been done. So that's somewhat of a concern.
Now, what about this acquisition by Pima County for $3.4 million, the purchase of a warehouse that would house COVID-related material? Republican Supervisor Steve Christie and Allie Miller are just furious about this purchase. They just don't understand why Pima County had to purchase a 43,500-square-foot warehouse downtown. They said that the county has plenty of properties that could have been used for this.
A couple of things, Bill. If you recall, in the early days of the pandemic, everyone was caught flat-footed, frankly, throughout the country and didn't have sufficient personal protective equipment, primarily for healthcare workers and first responders. We scrambled and spent a great deal of time trying to build up that personal protective equipment inventory so that we could meet all of those needs. We quickly outstripped our ability to have we have a warehouse at what we call the Apache Business Park adjacent to the sheriff. But it's only 9,000 square feet. And so we basically outgrew it rapidly. And this pandemic is not over. And as we then begin to approach the flu season, we need to increase our stock of materials, including vaccines. We've purchased over $2 million of flu vaccines to try and make sure everyone has a flu shot in Pima County. And those vaccines need to be stored in a temperature-controlled environment. And we looked at a number of warehouses when we actually selected this one. And it is one that has the ability to have refrigeration units. It had previous refrigeration units so that the vaccines for flu can be appropriately stored.
How about for the corona vaccine?
And hopefully we'll be storing coronavirus vaccines in January, February, or March of 2021.
And what was the connection to Vector Launch?
It was a warehouse that Vector Launch had previously leased from the Levine family. And Vector Launch, as we know, went into bankruptcy. They've been purchased out of bankruptcy now by an investor and another entrepreneur in Pennsylvania. They came out and looked around. We're actually going to move all the staff and everyone to Pennsylvania. After they looked at the assets and the advantages in Pima County, they decided they'd like to stay. But they have a much reduced footprint, which simply allows them to stay in a portion of this warehouse and pay actual market rent to the county for their use of the warehouse component. They will have probably about 40% of it. And they will stay there probably between 1 and 3 years before their current plan is to stay in Pima County, continue to employ Pima County residents, and ultimately build a facility for them and own it.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, stick around. Sarah's on the live line. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, property management and real estate. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Buckmaster on a Friday continues right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Sarah Garrett Gasson is on the live line with us. Sarah, the opinion page editor at the Arizona Daily Star and columnist. A lot of people, Chuck Huckleberry, are pointing to what I call the PV world. That's the post-vaccine world. When you look at your budget problems and your budget challenges, shall we say, and I know you're reevaluating it every month, this could be a different world in January and February.
I think so. I think the only thing that's going to allow us to return to normalcy is basically a vaccine. And then so the question is isn't a vaccine developed and is it available in January, February? Is it reliable? And how many people do we actually have taking the vaccine? And if we can get a fairly high compliance with a vaccine that actually works.
Hopefully up to 75% of people taking the shot.
That's correct. And then what we will do is probably start to return to normalcy sometime in March or April of 2021. So it's still a ways off, and the budget's very precarious, always is in these kind of environments. We've told the board when it was adopted this year that in January, we'd have to revisit it to see where the revenues actually were versus where they were projected to be.
Sarah Garrett Gasson, come into the conversation. Sarah, I don't know about you, but I could see where people will require that some kind of proof of that they've had the vaccination and 28 days later, the booster shot. Could you envision something like that, Sarah?
And I would just like to say you might be hearing my wiener dog Olivia contributing to the conversation. I've closed the door, but
well,
she barks loudly.
A quick comment on Olivia. We've gone through this before, Sarah. When Olivia hears my voice on the radio, and we've had you on the program, she just goes bananas, and I'm taking that as a compliment.
Oh, absolutely. She wants to talk to you. She knows your listening audience is vast. She has much she wants to say to the community at large. But as far as the vaccine,
What if you let her into the room? Would that change the dynamic?
No, it wouldn't, because then she would be closer. Yeah, she contributed. We had County Recorder F.Ann Rodriguez on our Daily Star opinion chat yesterday, and she did the same thing. So I think it has something to do with public service and democracy. She's participating. As far as requiring evidence of a vaccine, I don't know if that is a legal thing to do. There's some, you know, civil liberties, privacy concerns there. I don't know. I don't know that, I mean, people in some medical situations, like just myself, I'm not able to take the flu vaccine for various reasons. So
let me ask Chuck here if he thinks that's a legal issue.
I think it is. I think it's HIPAA. And so once you get into HIPAA, the medical information on individuals is confidential. And so I think it's probably would fall under the HIPAA regulations. And so I think you would actually be prohibited from asking the question.
Sarah, let me ask Mr. Huckleberry a question, and then we'll see if Olivia decides to quiet down a little bit.
Okay.
Open the door, go out right now while I ask Mr. Huckleberry a question. Is there a treat that you could give Olivia right now?
Yes.
All right.
There is, but unfortunately, they're also changing the AC filters on our roof. So she's looking at the ceiling and barking.
Okay.
So
all right. All right. Mr. Huckleberry, this week you sent a 7-page letter to the Board of Supervisors calling out Supervisor Allie Miller, Miller's staffer Lori Honeycutt, who operates the online Arizona Daily Independent, the Goldwater Institute, and the campaign of U.S. Senator Martha McSally. You were saying, quote, you were calling them out on false or misleading information that states that Worldview had closed in moving their or is moving their operations or competing with a former CEO who launched a new company. Is there a lot of information here that you felt had to be clarified?
Well, what has happened is, I think, unfortunately, Worldview is a startup organization. They depend on venture capitalism, and anything that's adverse or, we'll say, controversial gives pause to venture capitalists to invest in the startup organization. And so I think that anything that's said that is incorrect is a problem and, you know, hurts the survivability of that particular enterprise. They're just like every other business. They've been hurt during the pandemic. They've had to lay off or furlough employees. They're starting to bring those back now. They're starting to return to flight. And during the pandemic, they actually made what's called isolation gowns. And isolation gowns is like a plastic wrap that basically protects healthcare workers when they're treating COVID patients. And they did that competitively. They approached us, and they were actually able to pull back 19 employees from furlough. So I think what we're concerned with and what I was concerned with is this startup company is having enough trouble surviving the pandemic with not having misrepresentation or misleading statements made about them and their future.
A guest, I had an email here during our interview, wants me to ask you if Vector Launch was or is any way related to Worldview.
They're not related at all. One uses a balloon and the other uses a rocket.
All right.
And they're not connected at all corporate-wise.
All right. Sarah, are you back with us?
I am, and Olivia is theoretically preoccupied with a treat. This is apartment living. There isn't a lot of space for me to go elsewhere, but I will try. So my question is for Chuck Huckleberry is, this is Worldview is a business that's obviously, you know, become part of a political discussion. But the fact that you're the Pima County administrator speaking out on behalf of a private business, is this something you plan to do in other situations for other local businesses?
Sarah, my view is yes. Anytime there's significant misrepresentation that can damage their ability to survive and employ Pima County residents, I think is one of my obligations to do that.
Even if you did call out the McSally campaign, is that an issue as far as getting political out of your office?
I don't think so, because I think all I said is that the things that were being said were false, and they are false, and that's all I said.
Sarah, follow up?
Is this the first time that there's been a situation like this, that you have spoken up about a private business and its reputation?
probably not. If you, one of the things that, because we were getting these continual misrepresentations regarding worldview, I've actually created a tab on my what we call a website with under the county administrator called Worldview, and it's a complete listing of all of the communications related to Worldview, all of the memorandums and letters to the board on the subject, so that anyone can go back and look at the actual record.
How extensive is that list?
It's probably a list that's 20 or 30 long. Wow. And so it's a matter of trying to be transparent and trying to provide a straightforward, honest disclosure of what the facts are.
So you're saying, Mr. Huckleberry, your responsibility is to Pima County.
That's correct. And the folks who work in Pima County and are employed by an organization that might be under attack with false information.
Now, what about your own future, Mr. Huckleberry? Your contract comes up at the end of the year. Are you right now just in a stage where you're going to kind of wait and see how things play out, or what are your plans?
What my plans are is basically to serve out and honor the contract I have with the board, and I think my contract expires about the first week in January, and I think at that point we'll see what the future holds.
And how long have you been the Pima County Administrator?
Oh, I think I'm pushing 27 years at this point in time.
But are you still having, is the job fun for, fun, is this, is the job everything, how do I put this? Are you still content with the work?
Yes, I am. It's very challenging. Mm-hmm. It's even more challenging now under COVID. And it's when you can actually get things done and see the community grow and prosper and look at economic development and employment and improving the lives of the citizens of this county are exactly aligned with my interest. And as long as I can do that, I would, probably continue to think about doing that.
Okay. And now before I'm going to give it back to Sarah.
I just want everyone to know I'm now out in my backyard.
Oh, so good.
You might hear birds cheeping.
That's fine.
I guess my question is, with the situation with COVID, economic stress, joblessness, health concerns, we're seeing more people in a state of crisis than we have in a while. And Tucson is a place with a lot of people in crisis anyway. What is the outlook that you're seeing? How can people help? What can we do as a community?
I think the most important thing we can do as a community is listen to the public health experts and try and do your part to contain the spread of COVID-19. The more we can do that, the less the impact will be on the community, the less stress we'll have. We're facing eviction crises right now. We're trying to mobilize a great deal of assistance to those areas. We're facing what we would call some problems associated with continuation of service with small business. We need to do as much as we can to support small business. We've seen significant what we call community health disparities. COVID-19 has brought out and refocused the community health disparities, particularly among disadvantaged segments of our community, and we need to take action to correct that. And that's kind of why I've, in the last communication and update to the board on August 24th, I talked about reinventing Health 2.0, which is really trying to refocus our health organization to take advantage of, if there is any advantage to COVID-19, it's brought about the importance of the public health system and the public health unit in the county. And it's also focused, unfortunately, on the community health disparities that exist in this community.
So in the PV world, getting back to my post-vaccine world, that's going to be a big department to focus on.
It will be the next major focus, at least from my perspective, because I think yet frankly is maybe just as important or more important than the criminal justice system.
Now, I budget a little money, like well, a lot of people probably do this, toward my property taxes, so I pay them twice a year. Should I be budgeting more this year?
I think you should budget just a little less, not significantly less, but less than you did last year. Our overall property tax rate, which is you pay the bottom line, which is the total bill, went down, I think, 25 cents. And so that's about a 4% drop. And I think you'll see that continue as long as we can continue to expand the tax base through our economic development activities. As we expand the tax base, the folks who are paying taxes should pay less.
I had another item, Sarah, before I get back to you quickly, because we are running out of time. What's this about that was reported on in Sarah's newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star, the county and the city looking at El Presidio Plaza? Is this kind of a joint look that folks are saying maybe we need to take another look at this?
It is. It's really kind and recognizing that come January of 21, we will have a new memorial, and that is the January 8th memorial that will open.
When is that's that far along? It's going to open this upcoming January?
This upcoming January. It should be finished. And so we're wrapping up a lot of improvements in the historic courthouse, the January 8th memorial. And the Presidio Plaza is part of that environment. And so we're trying to think about how to refresh El Presidio Plaza. And one of the focal points of the plaza is the fountain. And the fountain's in a significant state of disrepair. I've had conversations with the city manager. And we're trying to look at what it's going to take to actually repair it. And then once we know what that number is, we can then talk about how it gets done.
I'd like to repair it. I think it has historic value, doesn't it?
It does. It's anything that's over 50 years old has historic value, like both of us.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And so, you know, but it's a piece that should, if it's reasonable to repair it, should be repaired.
All right, Sarah, I'm going to have to run. Do you have any final thoughts for Mr. Huckleberry?
Just thinking about the election and early ballots and encouraging as much communication from the county on that. We had a great session with Beth Ann Rodriguez yesterday, which we'll put on Tucson.com shortly. So just a bid to get the word out about the procedures and what we need to do for the election coming up.
And I've talked to the recorder, and FN Rodriguez, I think, is absolutely dedicated to see that this election goes as smoothly as possible.
It's her swan song.
And it will be probably a record turnout with regard to what we call early ballots.
She's 28 years in that office. Also, a quick item about air quality. Air quality, in my 32 years in town, Chuck, you've been in town a long time, I don't think I've ever seen an air quality week like this one.
It looked a lot like the old downtown L.A. in the 1970s.
Yeah, no kidding. So folks, be very careful. We had Dr. Carmona on the show on Wednesday, and his advice, and he was even having issues, and he doesn't normally have breathing issues, he was saying, but he was having issues, and he said, if you don't have to go outside, don't, until we get a break. Maybe that will come this weekend. Mr. Huckleberry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Sarah, stick around to have some final thoughts with you after we take the break on Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, the live line made possible by our friends at Rincon Ventures, property and real estate management. Be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We are Liveline is presented by Rincon Ventures Property Management and Real Estate. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us, opinion page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, what did we learn from our interview with Mr. Huckleberry? Well, I'll kind of summarize it. I thought there were a couple important points. One point being, when you're at the top of the mountain, unfortunately, when you're at the top of the mountain with a number of cases, it's a long way down. That's one of the things we learned from Mr. Huckleberry. Another is that he's not ready to step aside. He still said he's contented with the job. His contract will be up at the end of the year. And I think the third thing we learned in our interview is, boy, the gloves are off as far as Mr. Huckleberry is concerned with these memos, that he will call out people, even if it is of a political nature.
Yeah, that was something that I found is interesting and encouraging and slightly troubling. Because, yes, absolutely, if there is wrong information out there, it needs to be corrected. The thing, though, that concerns me is it the county government's position or responsibility to come to the defense of with every single business in Pima County and its reputation? I wonder if there is libel, if there's defamation, if there are certain things. Should Worldview be the one suing, perhaps, or taking some sort of action? So that's something I still need to think about and kind of think through. But I found it very interesting that Mr. Huckleberry wanted to clarify the county's role. Absolutely, that makes sense, but I'm not sure that it's the county's obligation to sign up to defend the honor, so to speak, of every business in Pima County. I think this could be an interesting precedent, and I'm will keep an eye on how this pulpit is used in the future.
Well,
what do you think, Bill?
Yeah, it sounds like something you might want to write about here in the future.
Yeah. I need to think it through, but it hit a chord with the, I don't know where the line is on that.
Sarah, what's coming up in the paper this weekend? This is just such a busy time of year, so much going on. That information out of the U of A, that wastewater detection program, is really fascinating. We've talked a little bit about it on this program with some of the scientists at the U of A, and that wastewater detection program uncovered two positive cases among two U of A dorm residents. They had previously tested negative. So this is a very kind of interesting way of determining who might have been exposed.
Yeah. I think, gotta give kudos to science and some scientific and innovative thinking and how to detect and track down these things. Coming up on tomorrow, we have a somewhat hilarious hilarious, depending on your political point of view, column from David Fitzsimmons, his take on the Republican National Convention this week. It made me laugh out loud. And we also have a really interesting piece from a professor at the U of A, Michael Schaller, who... one of the things I love about his columns, which he contributes, is he has the historical perspective. So he uses history to put in context what we're experiencing now. And he has a piece about the conspiracy theory QAnon that has been in the news and that as far as including at the presidential level. And he does a really interesting job kind of tracing back throughout American history previous conspiracy theories and how they've kind of shaped our national story. So that's a really interesting one that we have for Sunday.
How much was Lute Olson loved in this community? Well, I'll answer my own question. Last night when the news came down that Lute had passed, I kid you not, I went on to Facebook. Every one of the Facebook posts was Lute, a tribute in some way, how Lute had touched an individual's life. It's just really amazing.
Yes, much beloved in the Tucson community, as was his wife, Bobby, who both much loved, much respected, kind of an icon of a time, the late 90s, where Arizona basketball was the pride and joy of the university in Tucson. It just sort of seems like the golden age looking back at that time. And he will be missed.
Well, what happened to your dog? The dog has suddenly been silenced, and I'm kind of concerned. I know you you took a pause, and suddenly Olivia just sort of like disappeared. The audio was gone.
Olivia has a remarkable ability to fall asleep in about 0.3 seconds.
Oh, no.
And so right now she is zonked out on the carpet, and we should be hearing her snore shortly. Yeah. She's either on or she's off.
I won't take it personally, Olivia, because you did react in a very audible way and loud when you first heard me on the radio, which was good. But now, apparently, my voice is putting you to sleep. So,
welcome to the Buckmaster.
I will look forward to some kind of a picture on Facebook of Olivia in a deep slumber. Enjoy it, little one. Okay. All right, Sarah, thank you very much. Stay safe and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Sarah Garrett-Gasson and the Wonder Dog, Olivia, on the live line, the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, property management and real estate. We thank them and, of course, Green Things. Up next, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. It's Buckmaster on a Friday, the final Friday in the month of August. I was going to say already, but this year is like, wow, keeps chugging along. Be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
There it is. Stir it up, baby. The theme music for Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City so you are ready when New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do. Hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. That's going to be wonderful as the aspen trees start to turn in the high country with autumn coming on. For more things to do, the place to go, southwestnewmexico.org, things to do and places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I am doing great. You had me at aspen trees turning in the high elevation. I mean, get me to Silver City as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's time for a lot of us to start searching for cool, clean air after the week we've had in Tucson. It's time after this week, I'll tell you, a nice glass of wine would be in order.
Absolutely. And you know what? With this week's news that some bars and other businesses can finally start to open again, one of the first ones to swing their doors open is the Arizona Wine Collective in St. Phillips Plaza. Now, they're going to be reopening today at 4 o'clock after months of doing nothing but takeout. And they're going to continue, of course, to adhere to public health guidelines. Now, Bill, this is the unique place that celebrates the Arizona wine story, with each and every bottle in the cellar coming from a winery right here in the Grand Canyon State. So no matter what you like on the spectrum of whites and reds and rosés, there's definitely a wine for you, plus some snacks and local beers on tap as well at the Arizona Wine Collective.
Any restaurants opening during these hard times?
Talk about perfect timing to open a new restaurant as these dine and restrictions start easing up a little bit. Yes, Bill, the newest eatery to open in Tucson is Med Cuisine Restaurant and Bar on Prince, right near Campbell, which offers authentic Lebanese and Mediterranean fare. So we're talking beautiful lamb and beef, chicken, other entrees, plus pita wraps and salads and, of course, kebabs. Really good stuff. Now, this place got their start in the food court at Park Place Mall, if you can believe
what?
Their business grew so fast, they decided to open up a second location. So the grand opening was earlier this week, and the celebrations will certainly continue through the weekend and beyond. So check out Med Cuisine Restaurant this weekend.
When I think of autumn, I think of Apple Annie's.
And I love going to Apple Annie's out in Wilcox. You know, I'm a regular fixture there for their annual pumpkin and peach festivals. But this is green chili season, Bill Buckmaster. And this weekend, they'll continue with their seasonal series of green chili roasts. Now, you're going to have the opportunity to enjoy free samples. You can purchase some to take home, or you can even pick your own fresh chilies from their fields. And check it out. If you fill up a 50-pound burlap bag of chilies, they're going to roast them for you free of charge right there while you watch. And I don't know about you, but there is nothing like the aroma of freshly roasted chilies. I say follow your nose to Apple Annie's Orchard this weekend for their green chili roast.
Boy, I'd need some help to get that burlap bag over my shoulder. I'll tell you, that's a lot.
Well, I'll be happy to assist you if I'll take 30% of the take.
All right, Matt. I'm off to cool, clean air. I hope you have a great week. Thanks very much.
Travel safely. Godspeed, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Matt Russell. With us, the Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Thanks to my buddy, John Couch, engineering and producing. Thanks to everybody at Bustos Media here in Tucson. I am off for a week. You're going to be in good hands, though. Have a great weekend.